Read from Judges in chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, and we'll read from verse 15. Then she said to him, How canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? These three times hast thou mocked me, and hast not told me in what is thy great strength. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, that his soul was vexed unto death. And he told her all his heart, and said to her, There has not come a razor upon my head, for I am a Nazarite of God from my mother's womb. If I should be shaven, then my strength would go from me, and I should be weak, and be like all mankind. And then the second epistle to Timothy, in chapter 1, and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of wise discretion. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then finally, in Revelation again, chapter 3, and this time Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. And I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door which no one can shut, because thou hast a little power, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. And then verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee out of the hour of trial, which is about to come upon the whole habitable world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly, hold fast what thou hast, that no one take thy crown. I've just been had occasion to look at this well-known episode in Judges, and I've been thinking a little of spiritual strength. Samson was, we know, raised up of God himself, one of the judges. And he had this peculiar portion, we might say, from God himself. He was a Nazarite, someone who was set apart. I think Graham in the opening prayer referred to sanctification. And we heard about that recently in the Refresh Saturday. What it is to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be different. And Samson here was given that ability. He was strong, not through his own might. His strength didn't come from himself exactly, but it came from the fact that he was set apart for God. And while that was the case, he had spiritual power. But we know the story, and his story is not a good one. And he had many temptations. We know what it is as believers, young and old, especially young, I have to say, and talks about that in the scripture. Temptations to compromise, to give in. Verse 18, it says, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily. You know, the Christian life is a daily battle. Give us this day our daily bread. We need the food, and we need the strength for every day. As Mike has already referred to, the Lord's ear was open morning by morning. You know, we face the enemy on a daily basis. Joseph knew what that was. I think it says every day the Potiphar's wife tried to bring him down. And that's the sort of enemy we have to deal with. We know the story here that he gave in. Only by God's grace can each one of us keep going in that sense, to keep our strength by committing ourselves wholly to the Lord and not giving in to temptation. It's interesting what it says here. He revealed the secret. It wasn't for her to know. The source of strength comes from above, and it's not really something to be shared with the unbeliever. But he's quite honest in a sense here. He says that if I share this with you, I lose my strength. I'll be like all mankind. How sad that is. A vessel that's been raised up specifically by God to be different. And a believer is to be different. We're not to be like the world. We're not to swim with the tide. We're to swim against it. But he's quite honest in one way. He says that I shall just be like any other person. Because I've broken my vow. I've given in to the lures of the world, the flesh and the devil. And I've lost my strength. What a sad thing it is. You know, at the end, of course, he is restored. Thank God that if we fail, that there's the rest of our time. And God can restore that the cankerworth had eaten. He can bring us back. Some of us can say, like the psalmist, that our feet had well nigh slipped, but God had preserved us. And may we be able to say at least that we had nearly slipped. Samson fell greatly because he became like the world. He gave in to the lures, and what a sad disaster it was. I just read in Timothy, because this is a young man, and Paul was the spiritual father. Timothy was the spiritual son. And he needed encouragement, as we all do. Young and old alike, we need encouragement. Paul says here that God has given us a spirit, not of cowardice, but of power. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? The feeblest, the smallest believer, and we have that same gift from the God himself. We have power, not from ourselves, but what God has given to us in his grace and his mercy, resident in Christ, and in the power of the Spirit too. I'm sure Paul doesn't speak of the Spirit here specifically, but surely the Spirit would be involved in all of this. God has given us a spirit of power, not that we might be in our own strength, but that we might maybe take advantage of all the resources that God would give us in Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, and of what love and of wise discretion. And the note here, it speaks of being sober, a quiet, sound or sober mind. Samson really didn't have that at the end, or where we read, he wasn't, he had the opposite really. But here it says we've got this power, but also this discretion. You know, there's a lot of injunction in the epistles to be sober in the present course of things. It doesn't mean that we go around with a long face, but it means that we're wise and discreet, and we honour the Lord, and we do things in a comely way, and we just chart our course through this world in an orderly and a sober way, pleasing the Lord and being committed to him. And Paul says to Timothy that you've been given these things, and he says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Samson really was got to that point where he was ashamed. He wanted to, he was more interested in the pleasures of lustful company, we might say, and the things of this life. And really he didn't want to be different. But Paul says to Timothy, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I trust, you know, we know what it is to be ashamed at times. And we've all been like Peter. I think every believer at some point in their life can identify with Peter. We're thankful that the Lord, he was restored, and so can we all be. And I just read in Revelation there, because this is not to an individual but to the company. Mm-hmm. But it, and we know the history of the church generally, and we know that this, in a sense, charts the history of the church, these seven letters. And here's Philadelphia has had many good things said about it, and it just appealed to me. It says thou hast little power. That's the company. Not great power, you know, we can't claim very much. But, you know, what we have, let us keep. And that's the injunction that the Spirit says here at the end. It struck me that thou hast a little power. And then it basically said, keep, just hold fast to it. Thou hast kept my word. Thou hast not denied my name. That's the opposite of being ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Thou hast not denied my name, and thou hast kept, he's kept thy word. And then it says, I come quickly, hold fast what thou hast. Samson let it go. Let it go for a temporary pleasure of sin. But the injunction to the church now, in these last days, we might not have much, but we have a little power. Let us therefore hold fast to it and keep his word and be ready for him when he comes, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.